Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Mike to take you along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop for all your Labor Day. It's a long weekend. Food and drink specials right here at Rouse's. And we got a lot of people here. One of the big savings they got is on the VIP ham, $7.99 per pound. Save $2 a pound on the Chessie's VIP ham here at Rouse's. Guys, I'll give you a little bit of a rundown on some of the scores of the games, and it's sort of been a pull away.
Give me some updates. Let me hear
For Georgia, 34-3 over Clemson.
Wow. That's surprising. I thought Georgia would win, but I didn't think they would thump them.
Man, Charlie and I, we had the long talk about it. That was one of the games we picked. We picked Georgia, and we gave the 13.5. I said, Charlie, you don't have to worry about it. I just felt, man, after last year, all that talk about how good Oregon was and how well coached, and they are. Oregon's a well-coached team. Man, they got killed by Georgia last year.
Yeah.
And Clemson, and I got big question marks about their quarterback. I think their defense is okay. But they can't hold up forever. You got to put points on the board. They just couldn't do it. And having today, again, late in the fourth quarter, 34-3 Georgia over Clemson. There's a delay, weather delay, in West Virginia. Penn State with a 20-6 lead over West Virginia. And late in the fourth quarter, Virginia Tech has come back and taken the lead 27-20 over Vanderbilt. With about 4 minutes left in the game, Virginia Tech 27-20 over Vanderbilt with about 4 minutes in it. Man, if I'm Coach Kurt Ferentz, I save this highlight reel. They beating Illinois State 40-0. Man, when's the last time Iowa scored 40 points?
No, and at the beginning of that game.
Well, they fired the OC too, right?
Yeah. No, and at the beginning of the game, though, it was 6-0. They kicked two field goals. Like, what? They still can't score.
Right.
They still can't score.
That's about right.
So they finally, yeah. No, you look at that blue-collar Midwest Iowa Hawkeyes.
Mike, they don't get no boomer blue-collar.
Yeah,
than that.
It seems like they've always the defense, but can their offense score?
Another score, too, is I got a text about it, Oklahoma State. Man, you know, never like to play a team, and they got a Dakota in there. And South Dakota State, Oklahoma State has a 17-3 lead with 4 minutes left in the second quarter over South Dakota State. Man, we saw Prime. Coach Prime, man, he had quite a battle on his hands. Fortunately, he got, you know, his son Shadir, and, man, I think maybe the best player in college football, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You see him play cornerback, wide receiver. You know, he sort of tilts the field when he's out there. And, man, they were hanging all over him, and he was still making catches for Colorado. But, man, did North Dakota give them a battle?
You know, I did watch some of that game last week. South Dakota State at New Mexico, and Albuquerque and South Dakota State ended up coming back to Jackrabbits and winning that game. But, you know, it's amazing. I still call it 1AA. But you look in that region, I guess the biggest universities would be Minnesota or Nebraska. But like all the Dakotas, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Montana State, all in that region. Mike, I want to say four, like in the top five teams are all from that region.
Okay, didn't you go to a game? Montana.
In Missoula. In the University of Montana. Northwestern played them when they had Craig Knoll, a quarterback who played with the Packers and the Bills, and they had Nathan Black, who was a wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. And I'm telling you, I was on the sideline, and my best friend, Mike Hagan, who played at the University of Montana, he's from Seattle. He's my first roommate. You know, he passed away in 2015. But Northwestern was playing and they have Hell's Canyon. When that wind comes down, and I tell you what, it's the only game in town. It was packed, that stadium. And, God, what's his name? Who went to the Buffalo Bills? Terrence McGee. He ran back a punt all the way. So Northwestern's winning 14-0. I'm jumping and going crazy on the sideline. And my friend Mike's going.
I remember Mike.
So Mike's going, Bobby, you can't do that because I'm right in front of the Mizzou student body. He said they could throw a whiskey bottle and hit you in the head upside
well,
the head.
He was hoping it was maybe half full.
And they all asked him, Mike, who's your crazy friend? Are we going to jump him and all that? He goes, Mike, he's telling me you can't cheer. But I never forget when Terrence McGee ran back that punt and then Deuce. You went to about the fix was on. He crossed in the goal line, and the officials looking all around, like left, right, looking left, no, and then just drops the flag. And all of a sudden, so they call Clippers. Some that was like, he ain't going to call nothing. I go, man, I see that. Nah, I know the fix on you. Y'all want to win just because, Missouri, because they were supposed to win.
Right.
But we went up there and, a playoff game. And here, Northwest Louisiana from Natchitoches going up to Missoula. So, yeah, they love their football, but it's the only game in town.
Yeah.
Montana State or University of Montana. Same thing in Dakotas. North Dakota, whether it's state I look at it, I'm always intrigued because, like, North Dakota State, their fan support, the Bison, they have like a – it's a little dome.
They play inside. They have the dome.
Yeah, they play inside. Then you got the – I thought it was South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits. And then you got the South Dakota Coyotes. And then you got University of North Dakota, the Fighting Sioux. I wonder if they stood a Fighting Sioux. That's probably not politically correct. You can't be fighting. You might want it to be the Sioux, like the Seminoles or something. But, those Dakotas, not all of them are going to Nebraska. And then you see the athletes they get.
Well, another part of it, Bobby, you think about it, and I learned this from Scott Shanley. A lot of those high schools, they play.
So it was six-man football or something? Or eight-man?
It's eight-man football. So it's not even 11-man football. It's eight-man football. And so you have to play both ways. You have to play both ways. And then I know that they get a lot of kids also from Minnesota.
Yes, okay. They do.
That come over and play. And so it's always intriguing. You're thinking, man, how did this kid end up there?
Yeah, how did he end up? Opportunity, too?
Number three pick.
Yeah.
Trey Lance.
Look at that.
Trey Lance.
And who's that other quarterback playing NFL? Schtick. Mike, remember that?
Yeah.
He's
with the LA Chargers.
He was with the Chargers.
Yeah. So you see they have players because it's all about opportunities. But, dude, it's not like when I was in, like, junior high or high school. Nebraska. Now they got an NFL coach who had success at Temple. What's his name, Mike? Was with Carolina. The Nebraska coach. Hey, coach, I can think.
Oh, you're talking about
Matt Rhule. Now, Matt, can Matt Rhule do it in Nebraska? Because you talk about a loyal fan base that ain't won nothing. Nebraska's been so irrelevant since they joined the Big Ten. And did they just, boy, you talk about all that red, that sea of red, if they can ever win.
Since Tom Osborne retired.
Bob Devaney, Tom Osborne.
Bob started it, and then Tom took over. Whoa, they went through a run.
Boy, that's when that used to be a rivalry game. I didn't have a dog in the hunt, but like Oklahoma and Nebraska with Johnny Rogers running back punts. They don't even play no more, but obviously the impact there. You know what we think of Nebraska, the young kids now? They might think of a College World Series Omaha.
That's about right.
Yeah,
it's not even a 12th man anymore.
It's just about all that. That's where the College World Series is in Nebraska, Omaha.
But you think where Matt won at, and he wins at Temple, he wins at Baylor. He wasn't an NFL coach. It didn't work out for him. But he's a really good college coach. I think he's got the right mindset
to turn Nebraska around.
Now he's got a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, number one recruit
in Rioli.
Yeah,
and his dad was a former NFL center.
Was a center for the Lions forever.
And so now the son takes over, and you look at their schedule. They got a shot.
Had originally committed to Georgia.
Yes,
had originally committed to Georgia. Moved to Georgia to play high school ball over there, and then had a change of heart. And I think he was on – is his dad or someone still on the staff for Nebraska?
Yes.
And so that obviously helped as well.
But, Mike, you know how you're saying all the college scores. Let me tell you right now, you know who's already on the hot seat, and he's won national championship. A couple of them at Clemson. Who's on
Dabo
the hot seat?
Sweeney?
Dabo, Mike, how they – okay, you can lose to Georgia, but you can't get freaking crushed. I mean, when you say that, Mike, I know they were 13.5-point underdog or whatever.
Well, Bob, with less than a minute left, it is 34-3. No, that's a bad defeat for Dabo. You had a lot of time to prepare for Georgia. A lot of time to prepare for him.
No, at least you got to be competitive. It would be like if you have expectation of fan base, because Clemson is not a fan base, we're just competing. No, they've won national championships, and it wasn't that long ago. And, Mike, that's embarrassing. And I can tell you what, I remember taking Cameron Hayward and T-Bob at a Nike workout at Clemson from Alpharetta, Georgia, where we lived. It was only a 2.5-hour drive. So, you know, you go work out with the scouts and how they rate you, like three-star, four-star, five-star, and all that. Well, it was all held at Clemson and how they love their football team. Now, the one who loves their football team and hasn't won anything is the Gamecocks, South Carolina. They got a stadium that holds 86,000. Now, they haven't won anything. But I think right now, South Carolina Gamecocks, the fan base might be more optimistic there than they are at Clemson now after this butt whooping by Georgia.
Oh, because, man, when you think about it, this team, I remember getting a phone call from Pete Jenkins. And he's like, Mike, I've just left Clemson after 4 days. I've never had a defensive line that I've coached like this. They had three first-round pick defensive linemen, and the fourth guy would end up being a third-round pick. He said, I've never coached a college team of that starting four. Three of them ended up being a first-round pick guy.
Well, look how much better he's gotten for the Saints, Brian Brzee.
Yeah.
And Deuce, they had
Miles Murphy that was playing right. In, who was a first-round pick.
Deuce, I want you to comment on this. Because you know how you look at the progression from year one to two. I look at last year. I said, oh, well, he can rush the passer. You look at even passes defending, how he's batting balls down. So you see his instincts. But it's like, can he get better against the run? It just seems like, because you were there every day, doesn't it seem like now that he can be in every down defensive tackle? I know you're still in the rotation and you're going to get spelled. But right now, if he has an awesome start to the season and Saunders isn't there, Saunders might be a guy in the rotation and Brian Brzee might end up starting.
I think Brian's the
Nathan
starter
Shepard.
Now.
Right, yeah.
He's a
starter.
I think him and Shepard are the starters.
But I'm saying if he does an outstanding job on first down and he's good against the run, they're not going to replace him.
The shoulder's healthy.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it was. Remember he had that procedure on the shoulder earlier and he couldn't fully extend to be able to lock an offensive lineman out or shed.
Yeah.
So he's always had the spin move. That's one of the things. He's so
he's good at that.
He's quick and he's devastating with it. But the shoulder is 100% healthy. And so my only question is, and obviously a coach can handle this. If I have a team that is committed to running the football 35 times.
Right.
Can he hold up in that situation?
Yeah, well, how is he?
I want a thumper. I wanted somebody that's a little bit more heavier.
Right, and it can't be like, he was hell in the first quarter. In the fourth quarter,
he's wore down.
He's wore down.
And, but the Saints, all like you talked about, they rotate their guys anyway.
Yeah, try to keep them fresh.
Try to keep them fresh. But that would be my concern if I had to worry about a complete game. But him being able to go out there and hold his own, hold up on his own against a team that runs the ball now, he can do that definitely.
Well, I can tell you what, the guy that I'm pleased with, Mike and Deuce, y'all comment on this, is defensive tackle John Ridgeway from the Washington Commanders. I think, you want to talk about scouts doing their homework.
He's a big
guy. Okay, here, a three-year guy. He's an Arkansas Razorback. Now, he was a seven-round pick.
Dallas, right?
Yeah, yes. By Dallas. And I was reading where high motor rotation provided the depth. He was original a fifth-round pick by Dallas. To me, stout, when I was reading stout against the run, he's had six starts, so he got that experience, and he's played 30% of the snaps. We can do that in a Saints uniform. I think when he plays 30% of the snaps, you know, because once you're in there, you're like a starter, whether it's only 30% of the time. I think John Ridgeway will be an outstanding pickup for the Saints in the trenches.